This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening and welcome to Rock and Roll Autopsy. We are the Forensic Files on your radio dial. My name is Scott, and have we got a great show for you tonight? No, we don't. Damn it, the phone is ringing again. It's the request line. All right, let's pick it up. WRNRA, east of the Rockies. Hey, breather, what's going on, man? You think you've finally outgrown your adolescent teenage rock and roll obsession and now fancy yourself a more mature connoisseur of sophisticated music like Bach and Mozart? Wow. I guess that means you'll be our most musically and culturally refined podcast listener. What do you mean it's not possible to be a culturally refined rock and roll autopsy podcast listener? Listen, you called the request line. Is there a song you'd like us to perform an autopsy on?
I said,
Rock Me Amadeus by Falco? You got it. All right, buckle up, gang. The subject of our rock and roll autopsy tonight will be Rock Me Amadeus by German synth pop rocker Falco. We'll get the show started after these very important messages from our sponsors.
What's up, music nerds? Are you tired of wading through a sea of mediocre music, desperately seeking to find a glimmer of greatness? You're in luck. My name is Mark, and I am the host of the podcast, Songs That Don't Suck. Each week, I scour the depths of new music playlists to unearth hidden gems that defy the trends and deliver pure sonic bliss. No matter the genre, if it doesn't suck, it's on my radar. So find us on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today. And as always, keep searching for and listening to Songs That Don't Suck.
Breaking news!
What is this garbage you're watching?
I want to watch the news.
This is the news.
All right, gang, we've got our intrepid rock and roll beat reporter on the line, Rico Gnew, bringing the long overdue rock and roll news. Rico, we're back at it, man. What's going on?
Life is beautiful, man. This is exactly how things should be. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy that you're here. I'm happy that we're... Hey, I'm glad you made it back from Guatemala, dude. Did you catch anything? I mean, you didn't fall on the ice, did you?
The ice fishing was not great, let me tell you.
That sucks, man. That sucks. Did you eat any good food while you're down there or no?
Actually, it's funny because I toasted a bagel down there. I have, listen, already, are we really going to go into a digression at the top of the news? All right, I have to issue a statement. I know we occupy a very unique space in the podcasting world. We specialize in rock and roll kitchen appliance podcasting. It's a very niche space, I know, but... apparently, Rico, this new development, shocking. I hope you're seated. Apparently, our toaster does have a bagel button. Oh, everyone uses it, and I had no idea.
Well, in your defense, you did indicate that you don't really eat bagels that much. So I guess they're thereby sort of letting you off the hook on that one, right?
Thank goodness.
So now you know, if you want a bagel, hit the toast, the bagel setting, so that it only toasts the inside. It'll be a much better experience. Okay, let's get right to it, man. We've got a late addition to the news. You know, I had it all laid out, and then it came down. It's not necessarily breaking news, but it's new news that fucking a Devo documentary. You know, here's how this works, dude. Anytime, you know, I don't know how it is in other cities, but in this city, when something is going on with the locals, you're always a local, whether you live here or whether you live somewhere else. Devo will always be locals. Joe Walsh will always be local. So will the Black Keys. So will Chrissy Hines. Go Firestone High School. And anybody who's from here that's now famous is always a local, and thereby always news as far as I'm concerned. So at the Sundance Film Festival, they had a Devo documentary, dude. I really, really want to fucking see this. After the Devo documentary, there was a standing ovation. They had like Mother's Ball and a few of the guys, his brother Bob One was there, and they did a Q&A, and everybody was wearing the energy domes, and it was fucking great, dude. And I can't wait to see this. And I know that you feel the same way.
Yeah, I absolutely feel the same way. I'm super excited to see it. You know, I don't think, though, that, and apologies to our listeners, but we're going to be self-indulgent and a little local here. Yeah. I don't know that we will necessarily get the itch scratched that we so desperately want to in terms of receiving some love on the big screen. And I'll tell you why, okay? I heard Mark Mothersbaugh on a podcast, not this one, but another pretty okay podcast called Broken Record. It's the, I think that's the name of it. It's the Rick Rubin podcast. And Rick Rubin didn't host this one, but I listened to the entire podcast. And throughout the whole thing, I'm thinking, say something good about Akron, say something good about Akron, say, and he gives all this backstory about his childhood. Yeah. And nothing complimentary about Akron. He says that Akron, when he was growing up in Akron, if you were an artist or a homosexual, it was the type of place you would get your ass kicked for doing that or for being that. That was basically the gist of it. And to further kind of back this up, we have here in Akron, Ohio, is home to Earthquaker Devices, which is a world-renowned guitar pedal company located right here in downtown Akron. The guy used to build them out of his home, in my neighborhood in Highland Square. I heard him on a podcast where, and no shade in him, but it was a Dean Del Rey's podcast, and he asked him, so he's like, so tell me about Akron. I'm curious about it because I know about Devo and Chrissy Hynde and all. I'm kind of curious about it. How would you describe Akron? And do you know how he described Akron, someone whose business is still located in Akron? Urban redneck.
What?
Yeah. So I guess I want to see the documentary, but I don't know that. And I don't know if the Mothersbaugh brothers are behind this documentary or if they're just the subject of it, but I don't expect Akron to come off looking good in the documentary. And also, just in a larger sense, in this podcast I listened to with Mark Mothersbaugh, he said that the reason why Devo started was the May 4th shootings at Kent State University. So there's nothing positive here. I mean, you know, it's not. So I don't know that necessarily I'm going to watch this and think, wow, it was really great to see my hometown get the spotlight in a movie that's doing so well at Sundance. I'm guessing probably not going to look too great.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think this area needs a little love. Maybe we'll do something sometime down the road where we show all of our listeners just how great this area is. Maybe we'll put something together like that. But you know what, dude, maybe I'm a little delusional. Like maybe like all these cats like Devo and the fucking Keys and Hind and Walsh and all these people. Like, maybe they just wanted to get the fuck out of here. I don't think Akron is that bad, dude. Like, we've been here for a long time, and it's not that bad, right?
It's not that bad, but I do remember when I'm a booster, but I remember when LeBron James left the Cavs the first time, the guys from the Black Keys came out and publicly defended him and said, and listen, and I'll be honest with you, I defended his decision to leave at the time too, but I'm just saying that by and large, the sentiment was people were not happy that he left the Cleveland Cavaliers yep. and took his talents to South Beach. But the guys from the Black Keys came out and defended him and said, listen, we had to leave to make it. You know, sometimes you can't stay in Akron and make it. So I don't know. I do want to see the documentary, but I'm not holding out hope that it makes us necessarily look good.
Listen, from that perspective, he's absolutely right. Like, if any of those people would have stayed in this area, none of them would have made it. If you want to make it in music, you got to go to Nashville or LA or New York, dude. That's where you go to become a famous musician. You don't become a famous musician in Akron, Ohio or in Cleveland, Ohio. That's a fact. However, it's not that bad around here. There's a lot of, more than people think, famous musicians, artists that are from around here. And so I think there's something to be said for that. But anyways, the point is whether or not Northeast Ohio gets love in this documentary or not, I always like Devo, A, because they're locals and they're always going to be locals, whether they admit it or not. And B, I've always kind of been a Devo fan. And one friend of mine that I grew up with has always been a gigantic Devo fan. And so I've been kind of like a fan by proxy as well. And so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be kind of cool. So yeah, Devo's got a documentary. Hey, I don't know if I want to do this, dude. Do we have to talk about this? Okay. So anytime I think, you know, this whole thing we do here with Rock is Dead, and it's a fun concept to explore and we have fun with it. But, you know, when we're not doing a podcast, sometimes I think, you know, are we just being like a previous generation? Like we're like the boomers of the next generation of boomers, where we're kind of just stuck in our own opinions and rock really isn't dead. And maybe we're just don't have the right attitude about it. And then I see an article in Loudwire talking about how Sharon Osbourne doesn't want to have sex with Ozzy anymore. And how not only did she talk about the train wreck of her plastic surgeries, but how they tried to talk their daughter out of getting plastic surgeries. So that's where we are now, Scott. And so that reaffirms to me that rock is dead. This is the Prince of fucking Darkness and Sharon fucking Osbourne. And all we need to hear about now is how she doesn't want to have sex with Ozzy anymore. And on how awful her plastic surgery was. That's where we are with the music, with the rock and roll industry right now, Scott.
Oh my gosh. Do I have to entertain the idea of Sharon Osbourne and Ozzy Osbourne having sex? I don't want to think about that when they were both in their 30s. I don't want to think about that now. I'm good, man. Listen, this rock is dead thing, we take so much shit for this on social media. Guys, it's tongue in cheek. Okay. I mean, it's we're having fun with it. If you've ever listened to the goddamn podcast, you'd recognize this isn't exactly Walter Cronkite here. We're having fun with this shit, okay? It's just, I mean,
I said in a previous episode, if you want Pop Off, go listen to Pop Off, because you're not going to get that here, okay?
No, we lovingly poke fun at our favorite artists and our memories yeah. of them. And quite honestly, our generation of rock music kind of is dead. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't mean the genre is dead and that there aren't bands that young people today identify with. But our generation of rock musicians can't even get their wives to. I mean, it's over, man.
Oh, God. Right. Having said that's exactly the way that should have ended right there. Having said that, rock might not really be dead, Scott. And there is some value to the rock and roll genre nowadays. Having said all of that, I don't give a fuck about Sharon and Ozzy's sex life, dude. There's if you really care about your genre of music, you'll think of something else to talk about other than a couple of 70-year-olds who don't want to. Dude, how many 70-year-olds actually do want to have sex anymore? Name me. Like, really, I'm pretty convinced that the percentages are really low. So how is this fucking news? This is like Captain Obvious shit right here. No shit, a couple of 70-year-olds don't want to have sex. They barely know where they are half the time. So how the hell are they going to... Okay, anyways. So please, I love you, Loudwire, but there's music related stuff like music matters, and Sharon and Ozzy's sex life, the image of those two guys having sex is something that just is going to keep me awake for way too long tonight. So thank you for that. Moving on. When's the last time you were at the doctor's office?
Me?
Yeah, for any reason. I think your daughter, maybe you went because she needs braces, so maybe that was the last time, right?
Yeah, but my wife went. I didn't go. I was at work.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I've been in a doctor's office. Is that bad? I'm a middle-aged guy. I should get my ass to the doctor's office.
No, that's good. Maybe you
can't remember.
Maybe you're fucking in good health and feeling good. Maybe you don't need to go, right?
I guess I don't. Shouldn't they look under the hood, though? At our advanced age, they need to like check things out periodically.
I mean,
more frequently.
Let me ask you something. As you know, where I'm going with this. See, I could tell already. You already know where I'm going with this. When have you had your prostate exam? Have you had one of those?
I have not.
You've never had a prostate exam. See, you're due for it. Like you're not that far behind me. And I think it's kind of like, you know, what do they call that? Like it's like required reading now. Like you have to get one of those. Like, I don't think either one of us are at like colonoscopy age yet, but I'm kind of surprised you haven't had a prostate.
Wait a
yet.
Minute. Maybe I was thinking of the colonoscopy. Is the prostate exam where he sticks his finger in your ass?
Yes.
Oh, I've had that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, man,
I was thinking of the other one where you gotta drink the chalky fluid for a day, like before bed, and they stick the camera up there. That's colonoscopy. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So how old is the colonoscopy? Maybe we should ask Ozzy. How old is the colonoscopy?
He probably gets them weekly. I don't know, dude. Like, I was gonna ask you if you ever had one of those. I think it's like, yeah, you drink a bunch of this stuff and you like shit every possible item out of your colon so that it's like clean as a whistle so that they can stick a camera up there and look around. I think it's like late 50s when you need colonoscopies. It's in,
really?
I think it's in your 50s, and like I'm in my early 50s and you're almost 50, right? Are you 50 yet?
this summer. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be, ooh, man, we're going to have to do something. Yeah. I have to keep that in mind.
Maybe we should have a bagel.
We could do that because I guess that's what old people eat, bagels, right?
Yes.
So the last time you were at a doctor's office, do you remember what kind of music was playing over the intercom?
Oh, God. No, I don't remember at all, man.
It doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, that's wrong, Scott, because it does matter, because there's actually a survey that has been done by this outfit called, hold on, let me get to it, called Tebra, TEBRA. They actually surveyed 1,000 Americans about their health habits and what kind of music they like to listen to in the doctor's office. Are you surprised at all, Scott, that less than 15% of them, according to this article, another Loudwire article, by the way, shocker, less than 15% of people surveyed wanted to hear heavy metal music in the doctor's office. Fucking shocker, right? I'm stunned to hear that. Like, that's probably the most surprising thing I've heard in probably the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it usually just like elevator music or like, you know, pop rock or something from 30 years ago?
I didn't even know. Yeah, like nobody remembers. It's no. Like, what do you remember Muzak? Like what you, yeah, Muzak. See, that didn't Ted Nugent own Muzak? Yes.
I have no idea, dude.
I think in, I don't know if he still does, but I think Ted Nugent owned at one time, or maybe still does, Muzak. For any of the people that are under the age of 70 that don't know what Muzak is like what Scott called elevator music. It's kind of like they take any, like Cardi B, Wet Ass Pussy, for example. You could take Cardi B and turn it into this like soft rock, like easy listening type of thing that you hear while you're in an elevator, right? You like how I work Cardi B into this? And so that's really mostly, I didn't even know they played hard rock in doctor's offices. Who the hell? Listen, if you're in a doctor's office, you're either too old to know where you are, or you're freaking out because you have something wrong with you and your anxiety is through the roof. In which case, listening to some really intense heavy metal music is only going to make it worse. I like heavy metal music, and that is the last thing I want to hear when I'm in a doctor's office, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really conducive to, I think in a doctor's office, you want people to be relaxed, you want people to be calm, soothing, right? So I'm thinking that Fast as a Shark by Accept probably isn't going to be appropriate in the doctor's office, maybe, you know, Postmortem by Slayer, probably not doctor's office appropriate tunage, you know?
Oh my God, Rain and Blood isn't something that you want to hear when you're in a...
No, probably okay. Not. Okay. Probably don't want to hear Rain and Blood in the doctor's office. So,
you Mayhem? Know, what about Mayhem? That's kind of has kind well, of a slower role. Maybe we could throw some Mayhem on, right?
Certainly, yeah. All right. Well, okay, so this new segment, Rico, thank you. You brought us prostate exams, Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne. We went from Wet Ass Pussy to Dry Ass Pussy.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Thank
oh my you for gosh. Tuning in.
It's good to be back, Scott. It's good to be back.
All right.
Listen, why don't we... I'm exhausted from all that. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to talk about Falco, dude. We're gonna talk some Falco. Rock Me Amadeus. So stay tuned.
Looking for a good rock and roll book? Do you watch a ton of rock and roll documentaries like I do? Well, that's why I started the Rock Talk Studio podcast, to be the place to go for previews, reviews, and recommendations of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies. Every first Tuesday of the month, the Rock Talk Studio gets you caught up on all the latest and points out where to go for the good stuff. Give me 20 minutes and I'll get you caught up on the world of rock and roll books, docs, and movies from every possible angle and leave you with a no-doubt decision on where to spend your time and money. Fan or just casual fan, or maybe you're on the fence and just looking for something new to check out, either way, I got you covered. Recently on the show, I've talked about books and documentaries from everyone and everything from David Bowie, Randy Rhoads, and the Allman Brothers, to the Abbey Road Studios, Cheap Trick, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Richard, and more. Join me, Big Rick, every Tuesday of the month as I host the Rock Talk Studio podcast, the ultimate review of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies.
Our Mind on Music is a podcast that covers all things music. We cover all genres and we welcome all perspectives, from musicians, producers, and content creators to music enthusiasts. We have discussions, interviews, opinions, and much, much more. We hope you'll join us every week, Our Mind on Music, on YouTube and all streaming platforms.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955. On this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted under the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm. A sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose. thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace, in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
You are listening to the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
The Autopsy Report.
Alrighty then. Hey, welcome back. Thank you, all of you out there from all corners of the world, for tuning in and listening to us. We really, really appreciate it. And also, maybe you need to reconsider your life choices. Having said that, dude, I need your help on this. You're a big Motorhead fan. So the umlaut. Okay, so his name is Johann. His last name is H-O-L-Z-E-L, but the O has an umlaut over top. So you're a big Motorhead fan. So how would you pronounce his last name?
I have no idea, man. Why, you can't do this to me. I don't know. I don't even know what that umlaut, what do you call it, an umlaut?
Yeah, I think it's an umlaut with the two dots that go over the vowel. Yeah. I believe it's Holzel, Johann Holzel.
You know,
is his real name, aka Falco.
Motley Crue and Motorhead just use those because it looks cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm just kidding. I knew that. All right. So, dude, so we've got Rock Me Amadeus. In particular, we're going to be referring, let's make this clear before we get started. There's about 85 versions of this song, okay? We're going to be discussing two versions. The original version, clearly, but we're also going to talk about the Americanized Salieri version. We're going to be talking about those two versions, okay? So I just want to get that out of the way now so that we're all clear. This song, dude, it was a single from the album Falco 3, 1985. A lot of good fucking music in the mid-80s, dude. We've talked about this a bazillion times, okay? The Salieri version is a much longer song than the original, which is like just shy of 3.5 minutes. The label is A&M. Falco and a couple other dudes who I don't even know wrote this song, and the Boland and Boland, not sure what firm they represent, but they produced it. So yeah, dude, Rock Me Amadeus. But did this song rock the fuck out of rock and kill it? I don't know, dude. We're gonna find out.
Good stuff, Rico. Thank you, sir. Yeah, it's Rock and Roll Autopsy. We're talking Falco this week. Maybe a fringe rock song. Although, you know, hey, when I look him up, says new wave, rock, pop, hip hop. So we'll put him in here. I know when I heard this song as a youngster, I didn't know any different. It was on with all the other rock music I was listening to at the time on the radio. So Rock and Roll Autopsy, we've got to figure out, did this song kill rock and roll? Rico, we haven't done this in a few weeks. It's been tough getting this ship back on course after the holidays. True. 2024 now, we are back and more offensive than ever, apparently. So, I mean, should children try what we're about to do, this proprietary science that we use to determine if an individual song from a certain era participated in the death of rock and roll? Is this something that kids should try at home?
No, dude, because it's kind of like somebody farting on your pillow and getting you winding up with pink eye. If you try this, you're gonna get pink eye, and it's not good. You have to like segregate yourself, and it itches real bad. I've never had pink eye, but I hear it's no fun. I know. Can you believe it? Have you ever had pink eye?
A couple times, yeah.
Is it as bad as people say it is?
No, I mean, you'll wake up one day and your eye will be super pink and it'll feel like you've got a contact lens in your eye that's like off center.
So if you want to feel like that, then go ahead and try this shit because only we can do this. And watch, we haven't done this in probably 100 years, and we're gonna rip this shit off like we just did it yesterday. That's how good we are at this. So please don't try this at home. You're just gonna get pink eye and it won't be any fun. So just let us take care of it.
As you know, I'm the speaking of farting in pillows, as you know,
Oh, okay.
I'm the gaseous human being alive. And so I remember very early on when my wife and I were dating, and I was at her apartment, and I had and it was before we had crossed over into that level of comfort and being with one another to where I would just fart in front of her, which I do, by the way. Go ahead and judge me. I know a lot of guys are uptight about that. If I got a fart, it's probably coming out, just fair warning.
Just
But
let it rip, dude.
at that stage in our relationship, needless to say, I wasn't lifting my leg and farting on her yet. That fun would come later. So I was just like the gaseous human being alive. And I'm just sitting there, you know, trying to put my arm around her all slick on the couch, but also like clenching my butt cheeks super tight together and being all shifty and weird in the couch, you know? So I tried to play it off. I'm like, you know what I got to do? I got to go like, Rico's, he's dying, guys. I'm like, you know what I got to do? I got to go squeak this fart out, but I got to do it real low key so she can't hear it. So I'm gonna have to excuse myself to the bathroom. And I'm thinking of going about this one of two ways. I can either do like where you blow up a balloon and you let the air out by taking the tip of the balloon and kind of, you know how you do the little squeak thing where you
And it goes,
adjust?
wee!
Yeah. You like pull on the end of the balloon to slowly let the air out. I'm thinking I could do, if I could manipulate my ass cheeks to like slowly let the fart out, I could maybe
Yeah.
get away without, and then maybe run some water in the bathroom while I'm doing it. You know, flush the toilet, run the sink water, turn the shower on, a lot of other, you know, get a lot of racket going on, start singing, whatever you got to do, right?
Oh, boy.
But when I get in there, I realize it's probably not going to work. I'm not going to be able just to massage gently, kind of massage the fart out silently. So I'm thinking, well, what can I do to get rid of this gas that's completely impeding my ability to get fresh with my wife in the early stages of dating, right?
Yeah.
Well, I had but one choice, and that would be to look for a silencer, you know, some kind
Ooh.
of silencing device. If I could somehow
Right.
muffle the audio, right,
That's a
then
good idea.
it is a good idea. So if you're, let me ask you, if you're in a bathroom and you look around, what object could you use as a silencer?
I guess right off the top of my head, I would ball up some toilet paper and shove it in my ass right up against my asshole to kind of muffle the fart. I would literally stick a wad of toilet paper right against my sphincter.
Well, in hindsight, I wish I had done that because that would have been the something that like a decent, considerate human being would have done. But my choice was to grab her towel and to And this was before I had any knowledge of if you're a guy, you have like a towel, right? And it's the towel that does everything, right?
Exactly.
Women aren't like that. Women have towels designated to certain, they have a towel they dry their hair with. They have a towel they dry their face with. They have a towel they dry their body with. They have separate, women divide all of these items in the bathroom. Each one has its own function and its own place. Men just use one washcloth, one towel. We don't differentiate. There's no, women are very different creatures, so everything has a designation. And as it turns out, I used her face towel to
Oh
ball up
boy.
and muffle a fart.
Oh boy. Wah,
At any rate, rock and roll autopsy. Okay, so we've got this proprietary science that we use to determine if songs killed rock and roll. Tonight's song in
oh boy.
question, Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. Rico's
Yeah.
throwing up right now.
It's so funny. Gladly.
So we've got this proprietary science, and it consists of five categories. They are gratuitous boomerism, excessive misogyny, wanton whiteness, malignant machismo, and culture vulturism. Rico, the artist is Falco, the song, Rock Me Amadeus. The category is gratuitous boomerism. Rico, what say you?
All right. It's a song. Like, when was Mozart's, what, 1500s, 1600s, something like that? 1700s, yeah. Early 1700s. Okay, so there's a song about a dude from the 1700s. Normally, that would be super boomer just because of, you know, obvious reasons. But, dude, and we'll get into the particulars of this, but this song was gigantic, dude. Like, it was number one in about 85 countries. It sold like 20 million copies. The album sold 40 million copies. Like, this song was gigantic, dude. And I can only give him the obligatory 0.5 for being a boomer. I mean, the way this song just like took the entire planet by storm. Like, I could never fault this song for any kind of boomerism. I mean, maybe you see things differently, but I'm just going to do the obligatory 0.5 just because he's old.
Yeah. I mean, well, he never got old. Unfortunately, he died at 40, but,
right.
But, yeah, he's a boomer. So I'm going to give him the 0.5 for boomer, born February 19th, 1957. By the way, I believe February 19th is the day that Bon Scott died in 1980. So a weird just thought in seeing that date. February 19th, 1957. So he's a boomer. So I'm going to give him a half point for that. I would. Now, the thing with the Mozart as subject matter, I think it's kind of cool. And I think as a subject, I think it's kind of a cool subject. And this idea of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart kind of being the first rock star, you know, womanizer and goofball and, you know, drunk. I kind of like it. I think it's kind of in a weird way. It's nerdy, but I think it's also kind of a hip kind of subject matter that you could pull off today. You know, I think it's kind of cool.
I totally agree with you on that.
So I'm going to go with a 0.5. Let's move on to category two, excessive misogyny. Enrico, I have the lyrics if you'd like me to read them.
But before you get into that, Scott, let me just tell you that one of the benefits of being employed is if you time things just right, you can poop while you're at work. That is great, dude. And one of the, you know, Scott being having such an affinity for alliteration has kind of coined this mantra that we both have lived by for gosh decades now. What do we say, Scott? Paid to poop, right? We get paid to poop. And anytime you can get paid to poop, you are one step ahead. And it doesn't matter if you have an office job or if you're a construction worker, it doesn't matter. Time your bowel movements to get paid to poop. But here's the problem, Scott. Here's where the problem lies. You just finish your business. You're getting ready to put all your stuff back together. You think that you've made the proper calculations to where everything is in order. And what happens? You stand up and you pull your pants up and inevitably you get the little dribble down your leg. It's like getting tased. That's how shocking and uncomfortable that is. But fortunately, we have a solution. It's called the cock cap, Scott. Simply put the cap on before you stand up and put your clothes back on. No problem. You can put your pants back on. You don't have to worry about that awkward, shocking dribble because it's a thing of the past. And now we've got the Guitar Legend series. We've got the Randy Rhoads polka dotted cock cap. We've got the Zach Wilde bullseye cock cap. And we've got the Eddie Van Halen Frankenstrat striped cock cap. So do yourself a favor. Get all three. It's going to be a collector's item. The Guitar Legends cock cap series, Scott. Do this and you'll never have to worry about and dumping at work will be the pleasure that it ought to be. Get yourself the cock cap. back to you.
Rock me, rock me, rock me, rock me, rock me, Amadeus. Do it, do it. Rock me all the time to the top. War ein Punker und lebt in der Grofenstadt. Rico, you're supposed to help me with the German.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're owned by Germans. I don't have the lyrics in front of me, though. The V's, the W sound like V's. That's all you got to worry about.
Just kidding. I'll read the English translation. He was a punk and lived in the big city. It was Vienna in Vienna, where he did everything. He had debts because he drank, but women all loved him anyway. And everybody screamed, "Come and rock me, Amadeus." He was a superstar. He was popular. He was exalted because he had flair. He was a virtuoso. He was a rock idol. And everybody screamed, "Come and rock me, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, oh, 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 Amadeus." Rico, do you need to hear any more of the lyrics?
No, but that was a beautifully done spoken word. Thank you for that. So, yeah, dude. Okay, so as far as, you know, misogyny is concerned, dude, there's nothing misogynistic about anything indicated in there. Listen, it's a song about maybe the very, like we said, maybe the very first rock star. Dude, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a fucking baller, dude. Okay. He was writing super complex concertos and compositions, like pretty much in his mom's womb. He started doing that. Dude was an absolute baller, rock star. There's nothing wrong with this, with the lyrics in this song. There's nothing misogynistic about this. Hey, listen, if I was a chick in the 1700s, I'd probably want to bang him too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So this is going to get a big fat zero out of me. Sorry.
Yeah, it goes on in the second verse. It says, "No plastic money anymore. The banks were against him. Everyone knew where the debts came from. He was a ladies' man. Women loved his punk. He was a superstar. He was popular." But I mean, they make a couple references in the song to him being a ladies' man, but I don't think it crosses over in any kind of misogyny. Yeah. I will say this much in reading these lyrics, not so much my shitty German, but in reading the English translation, I do feel I feel very secure in our choice of this as a rock song, since it is so topical. Es war und es war in Wien. I can't read that.
You sound like you're from Berlin. I mean, your accent is pretty dead on as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I'm going to score it a zero for excessive misogyny. Moving on, Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. Category 3, wanton whiteness. Rico, how do you score?
All right. Well, Scott, he was Austrian, actually. There's only two other famous people that I can think of. Well, I think three. I think Mozart was also Austrian, if I'm not mistaken on that. So a handful of Austrians, a couple of them not so good. But dude, we have an Austrian dude singing in German about another white Austrian dude in the style of this. The original version, this is very synthy techno style, and then the Salieri version has some, you know, really, you know, 80s musical American music kind of, they just kind of pick a bunch of popular music, I don't know, things and throw them in there. The point I'm trying to make is this is super white. It's whiter than white. It's Austrian white, and that's pretty fucking white, dude. When something's Austrian white and German white, that is pretty fucking white, man. So this is going to get a 1 million for me, but I can only give it a 1.0.
Yeah, this is whiter than your favorite white wig. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think you did mention it. There are 21 different versions of this song. There's a Canadian edit, an extended edit, a club mix, a radio mix, an instrumental mix. I mean, there's a symphonic mix. I mean, there's so many. They didn't miss an opportunity to remix this song and get another version out there to push. The Salieri version I can remember. Now there's an 8-minute version of that, and then there's like a 4.5 or 5-minute version. But yeah. I can remember as a child, I would listen to Casey Kasem. Hey kids, gather around the fireplace while old Uncle Scott tells you about growing up in the 80s. I feel like this is the old man talk here, but I would listen to every weekend. I had a gray Emerson boombox that I got at Zaire. Remember Zaire?
Zaire. Holy shit. I forgot about that joint.
I had my eye on this boombox forever. It was like the holy grail to me. I wanted it so bad. It had the dual cassette deck. It had the detachable speakers. And eventually, because I had wonderful parents, I got that boombox. And
yeah, when I got Emerson is like the slightly off name brand. It's kind of like the Vizio of TVs at the time. Good. Not Sony, but slightly under top name like Vizio. So Emerson was still a good brand name to have. So you did yourself good on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a brand that they would sell on the shelf at Zaire. Let's be realistic. But...
Zaire. Holy shit, I forgot about that joint.
But to make a long story boring, I would sit with this boombox because it had the cassette tape recorder in it, and I would have a blank tape in there, and I'd put Casey Kasem on, and as he went through his countdown, I would record the songs that I like. This is Napster in the 80s. I would record the songs I liked the best off of the countdown so I could then listen to them throughout the week, and I loved this song, and he played the version that had the rock guitars, because the Salieri version has this 80s rock guitar, has the real wet, reverby snare that we associate with the 80s. And then it also has the English spoken word timeline in it, where he, you know, gives the birth date, death date, and then closes it with, in 1985, Falco releases Rock Me Amadeus. I loved it, Rico. I loved it.
I know it.
And then the other cool thing about this at the time, why I have such a positive memory of this song, was that I don't think this would happen today, because when my kids watch movies in school, they're always whatever the latest shitty Pixar movie is. It's always some Disney bullshit. They're watching Inside Out a fucking again, right? And when I was in school, we watched Amadeus in school, and it took several days to get through it. They wheeled in the big cart with the giant TV on it, and we sat there, and that movie Amadeus, that this song was, I guess, inspired by, or maybe on the soundtrack of, I don't remember, we watched that movie in school as a part of our school day, in like 30-minute increments over like a 1-week, 2-week period, whatever it was, to get through it.
And that's Rico, crazy. It's a really long movie.
Yeah, and you know what? I fell in love with the movie, and I was in grade school. Today, grade school kids can't handle that. It would be too much dialogue, too slow, too intellectual. Today, they need it. Like, it's got to be like stimulation constantly. It's got to be, you know what I mean? It's got to be fast. It's got to be, or some fucking lame Disney movie. It's got to be. We watched that movie in grade school, and we were expected to sit there and be able to handle it and absorb it. And you know what? I did. And I fell in love with the movie and actually rented it from the video. I had my mom rent it from the video store, and I watched it again at home. And I had like this obsession with Mozart as a kid because of that movie that I loved, man. So, wanton whiteness, long way of saying, yeah, dude, you nailed it. I mean, it's like I said, it's whiter than your favorite, you know, white powder wig. But as a kid, this fucking thing left an impression on me. It shaped an early love of music and even cinema. This whole experience did for me. So a plus one for this white kid, but I'm going to give it a one as well for one.
Yeah. And let's remember that the movie Amadeus was gigantic. gigantic. It was so popular. And I mean, clearly this song wouldn't have, and maybe we'll get to that in another category, but this movie was huge. It won 1,000 awards. The dude who played Amadeus, remember, was in Animal House, Tom Hulce. Mm-hmm. And he was fantastic. I mean, this movie ages really, really well. If there's anybody out there who hasn't seen this movie, do yourself a favor and watch it immediately. You have to set aside like a pretty good chunk of time because it's a long movie, but totally worth it. This movie is amazing.
Let's move on. Malignant Machismo, Rock Me Amadeus, Falco. What say you, sir?
Man, this is a tough one. I mean, he's kind of a different kind of a quirky, eccentric kind of a guy who's Austrian. He sings in German. German, you know, like our friend from what they do, Du Hast. What the hell's the name of that band again?
Was Rammstein.
Yeah, that's right. Till Lindemann said he'll never do a song in English because the German language sounds angry, and that's why they will continue to do songs in German, because German sounds angry. And I don't care if this is a synthy pop song about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart being a rock star, and it's a cool fucking song and everybody loved it. It's in German, and German's angry, and the German language frightens me. So I'm just going to go with the 0.5. It's not full on malignant, but just because the German language scares me a little bit. So I'm just going to do a 0.5 for that.
You know what? And it's funny because Falco's video is kind of cool. You know, you see him wearing kind of like the period attire, and he gets carried out by like the biker gang. So it's this clashing kind of societies in the video, which is kind of fun. But I don't know, man, this has nothing to do with the song. But when I think about this, I'm thinking of dudes in powdered wigs with rosy cheeks and like painted on like birthmarks, and then like the knickers up to the knees and the pantyhose, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and score it as you.
All right.
All right, Rico, Falco, Rock Me Amadeus. Culture vulturism is our fifth and final category. Proprietary science, baby. You're listening to it at work. What say you?
Here's where it gets a one for me. So if you talk about just the German version of the song, let's just set aside the Salieri version, which I'll cover in a second, and maybe you can piggyback or have your own thoughts on that. But just the original version wouldn't even exist. That song would not even have been made had it not been for the movie. So they're vulturing the popularity of the movie in order to make this song. That's a clear plus one in my book, because this, like I said, the song would have never been made had it not been for that movie. And then you throw in the Salieri version that's got the rock guitar, and it's got like the backing vocals, and it's got like the wet super reverbed 80s snare drum that we all know and love, and it's got like the super 80s saxophone solo in there that is ridiculously 80s sounding the way they have it mic'd and mixed down. And so this is a super duper gigundo 1.0 for me, even though I love this fucking song. It is so culture vulturized, or however you want to fucking say that. It's really pretty funny, but it's a 1.0 for me.
Yeah, I think I have to give it a one as well. And I'll tell you why, because of the simple fact that there's 21 different versions of the damn thing. I mean, if ever there was a gratuitous example of attempting to vulture every, in other words, they've made a version for every possible demographic. So this is not a song where they're just like going to say, we're going to stay in our lane here. They're trying to appeal to everybody. I mean, the version I referenced had like the electric guitar in it to kind of like, hey, let's rock it out a little bit. It's the 80s. And then there's the more dancey version. Then it's like, we'll do the Canadian version with the woo-ca-coo. No, they don't do that, but you know what I mean. It's all there. They do the club mix, they do the radio mix, they do the, you know, the Wolfman mix. There's so many. So
Wolfman,
I think they were attempting to make the appeal of this song as broad as possible. So to do so, I think you have to be kind of attempting to appeal to as many cultures as possible as well.
Well, think about this, and let me throw this at you. The fact that there's 21 versions of this song, can you think of another song where there's even half of that many versions? Let me just start there, because I can't think of one that has even half of that many versions.
I can't, but what comes to mind, there's been, isn't the most covered song of all time The Locomotion? Am I wrong? I could be. Somebody out there fix me, but
with The Locomotion,
but that's a cover.
Yeah, it's a cover, and there's only like a few versions of that song, right? This has 20. So my point is, it's got 21 different versions. That goes to show you just how huge this song was when it came out. It sounds funny when you think about it. This German song, German lyric, techno pop song about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart that only exists on the heels of this really great movie. Dude, it was number one in like 12 countries. It's mind blowing to think of how popular this song was, and the fact that there's 21 versions of this song only is a testament to just how successful this song really was. So I think that's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. It's listen, it's a song that for whatever reason came on my radar when I was young, Casey Kasem. And I was introduced to the version that existed kind of for me, right? The rock version. That's, if I was introduced to the other versions, it might not have hit home for me. So I was a sucker for what they were dishing out there, I guess. All right, Rico, you ready to add this thing up?
It's been a while. Hopefully I can put my math brain on and get this right.
All right. Well, I have got for my rock and roll autopsy total on Rock Me Amadeus by Falco, I've got a 2.5, Rico. 2.5.
All right. And I've got, let's see, carry the 7 times 48 divided by square root. I've got 3 points. 3.0
for a grand total of
5.5. Dead balls in the middle, exactly where it ought to be.
Exactly where it ought to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, we got this movie. Do you have any interest in seeing? I see a parallel here between something happening in the culture now versus something happening then. This Bradley Cooper movie, Leonard Bernstein, Maestro. Have you heard about this flick?
I have not. Can you give me the quickie on this?
Well, it's a biographical drama being made. I think Bradley Cooper is up for like best actor for his portrayal, but I'm seeing parallels a little bit about, you know, this, maybe it's something, maybe a new, German rock dance pop synth hip hop song will come out of it somehow. I don't know.
I think we need one. And ironically enough that you said that, this song also charted on was super high on the R&B charts. This song, Rock Me Up. And can you believe that?
I can believe it.
They've
got the little, and they even added in the little sax solo, you know, more vulturism of the era, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to look up that Bradley Cooper movie. And yeah, let me just say this. We always need a movie inspired German lyric synthy pop song with a little bit of rap in there. We always need one of those. It's been shit, dude. It's been almost fucking 40 years since this song's been out. We need somebody else to make a new one. I mean, we've got Måneskin doing some Italian shit. And the only German stuff right now is our friends Rammstein. So we need some German pop, synthy pop. We got to have that. If there's anybody out there, start doing this stuff. We need it.
We need it, man. We need it. Bradley Cooper and Maestro got 7 Oscar nominations today, by the way. So
nice.
At any rate, All right, man. Well, I think we got a lot accomplished tonight. We got back on the saddle. We got through an episode, and I learned how to properly make a bagel. I got an update on the sex life of Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne. I had a rectal exam. We talked about farting and towels.
Right, we talked about wet pussies and dry pussies.
All right, thanks for listening.
Good thing that's at the end of the episode. Probably
make it easy to lop off.
Hey, Scott, welcome back, man.
All good right, man. You. Yeah, you too. Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it was like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNR Autopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Before you go, if you like heavy metal and stories, then you'll love Battle of the Bands, the narrative form metal podcast that unpacks the biggest rivalries in rock and metal history. Season 1 took in Megadeth versus Metallica, and Season 2 went across the divide to explore the beef between Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. It's like Business Wars, but metal. Find Battle of the Bands wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit battleofthebandspod.com.
All right, Rico, we got through it, man. We did it.
Awesome.
They can't all be winners.
I don't know. That one was pretty good.
All right, later.